Undercover Carson, secret agent. Operation Death Ray, an assignment in Rio.
Puzzling woman, Helena Jensen. Willowy, blonde, cool, poised, outwardly brittle. Yet I couldn't help feeling that I had yet to meet the real Helena Jensen. There was something in her manner that made me feel she was speaking the truth when she said she hadn't drugged the cocktail at my hotel suite. That meant it was either the fashion model, Paquita Riffio, or the adorable French-Italian dancer, Faye Carelli. I had some time to put in before the vital rendezvous with the former flyer, Carl Schmidt, so I looked up Faye. Somehow, we found ourselves spending the warm evening on a lonely parapet overlooking the Copacabana beach.
Ah, Monsieur Bruce, after dancing in all the smoke and noise of El Rocco, it is divine to be out here all alone with you.
Tired?
No, no. I have the desire to dance for you only. Perhaps in your pocket you have the pipe with the lovely little musical box attached?
Afraid not, Faye.
Oh. But you have the pipes with you, I know.
How so?
Monsieur Bruce, I feel them.
Oh, of course.
And they feel most interesting.
Not, I assure you. Just clumsy job picked up in Afghanistan.
I like to see it.
I'm sorry. Not the sort of thing a nice young lady should handle.
You, me.
Besides, got something special to ask you.
I not answer. I not even listen.
It's about Helena Jensen.
That woman.
Thought you might.
Might what?
Answer.
Only because I loathe her.
Why so?
I tell you before, Monsieur Bruce. She is not warm and open like I am.
Maybe you're a little too open, Faye.
What do you mean?
She was telling me that you dropped into her shop yesterday.
And what of it?
Seemed upset that you should accuse her of putting drugs in the cocktail in my hotel suite.
It was her. She tried to murder you.
But why?
Because she missed out when she tried with that crossbow.
No, Faye, I really don't think it was Helena who did that. Or doctored the cocktail.
Then who? Me, perhaps?
Well, could be...
Me? Try to kill you? Oh, oh, Monsieur Bruce. How ever are you able to say such a cruel thing?
Now, come back here and sit down.
Never.
I was only joking.
How I know that?
I'm asking you to sit down again. Come on.
You sorry?
I'm sorry.
All right, then.
That's the girl.
Please, do not ever be cruel to me again. I try to be gay and laugh at life, but underneath it all, I am a very soft person.
Of course you are.
And I melt even more in your arms, Monsieur Bruce. You like me?
Well, can't say I'm revolted, my dear. Better now?
Much better. But you know what happened when I nestled close to you?
Well, your version first.
I steal out of your pocket the pipe, see?
Pipe? Faye, that pipe, Faye, it's...
Afghanistan, I know.
For heaven's sake, don't fiddle with it or you'll...
Oh. Monsieur Bruce, what happened?
Faye, your
arm? What is that sticking into it?
Arrow.
Arrow?
So, that pipe, false stem, spring gun.
And I set it off. Oh, Monsieur Bruce. Oh, Monsieur Bruce, what have I done?
Not too much harm, I hope. Better find a doctor fast. Painful little diversion. But just a flesh wound, as it turned out. Had it dressed, the arrow restored to the pipe to an inner pocket. Faye was still greatly distressed when I sent her off home by taxi. Sir Giles Davenport was greatly disturbed when I told him all about it next day at his apartment.
These pipes of yours, Carson, are dash dangerous things.
Only in the wrong hands, Sir Giles.
But I'm thinking, old man, this might not have been as much an accident as you think.
Yeah? How so?
Well, to put it bluntly, this may have been Mademoiselle Carelli's opportunity to get rid of you.
No, nonsense, sir.
But don't forget, Carson, we have good cause to suspect her. They're a cocktail, you know.
No, couldn't suspect her, Sir Giles. Not after all the tears and apologies tonight.
Only got you in the arm. Perhaps she was bewailing the fact that it wasn't in the middle of the heart.
I find it almost impossible to suspect Faye. I'm sorry.
Hmm. And you are more or less convinced that this Miss Helena Jensen is innocent of any conniving?
Hard not to accept her word. Of our three suspects, that leaves only the exotic Paquita.
Well, Carson, I doubt whether we'll ever know whether it was Senorita Riffio. Not from her lips, anyway.
How so, Sir Giles?
You remarked when first Angelo let you in that I seemed a little grave about something.
Yes, sir, I did.
You seem to be so anxious to tell me why you are wearing your arm in a sling that my news had to wait.
Well, I'm sorry, Sir Giles, but what about Paquita?
I fear she's dead.
Dead?
Here's the newspaper, first edition. You read the local lingo, of course.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I see the paragraph. Yeah. Fiesta, apartment building. House service. Found dead. Overdose. Great heavens.
It's a shock, all right, Carson.
Terrible. Creature like that, destroying herself.
Did she, though?
Well, it says suicide.
But he also says that the police are anxious to question a certain Eric Seidel.
Oh, yes. Believed to have left Brazil overnight.
Yes. Suspicious, to say the least.
But it says death was caused by an overdose of sleeping tablets.
I can't help thinking, Carson, that this Seidel fellow had some very strong hold over the young woman.
He was her manager. She couldn't move without him. That's why she sold us the information about Carl Schmidt, to get enough money to break free of Seidel.
I fear I thought all along that her excuse there was a trifle thin.
Well, then what else could it be?
No idea, old man. But perhaps this Schmidt fella can enlighten us. You'll be able to meet him tonight as arranged, I hope.
Of course, Giles, but Schmidt's a strange person. I wonder whether it'll change him, knowing that Paquita is dead. There was a pale lantern hanging outside the back street cafe. It wasn't much brighter inside. No sign of Carl Schmidt at first, so I waited, and I knew Sir Giles' servant, Angelo, was waiting and watching outside. A tense hour went by, and then Schmidt appeared, still disguised by the beard dyed black. He sat down heavily. He seemed deaf to my greeting. But when at last he did speak, he answered many things for me.
I have been thinking, Herr Carson. Forgive me.
Don't take time. All night yet?
No. Now I am anxious to talk. You will tell me this. How was it that you discovered where to find me?
Well, from your former wife.
My late wife.
So you know she's dead?
I have read that she is dead, my friend. But I know that she was murdered.
How?
In what precise manner, I cannot tell. But you may take it as certain that it was arranged by Eric Seidel. He swore that she would die if ever she attempted to leave him.
But Seidel was only her manager.
Yeah, yeah. But in what business did he manage her? Can you answer that?
Fashion modeling. It wasn't, eh?
No, Herr Kirsten. It was a convenient disguise.
To what?
Peddling in drugs.
Drugs?
Yeah. In exchange for that service, he set her up in an apartment and with such clothing and jewelry as he desired. But very little in the way of money.
She wanted money to break free of him.
Yeah, she had no chance.
Poor girl.
And she had little chance to save any of that money.
How so?
I demanded every cruzeiro of her.
And how were you in a position to make such a demand?
I knew of this drug traffic in which she was engaged. And unless she paid me money by which to fumble my way through this underground world, then I would expose her.
I see.
But do you see the kind of person that I am, Herr Carsten? Living off a woman who is living in fear, disguising myself. Because as a man called Carl Schmidt, I was guilty of many crimes. You are aware how I came to this part of the world?
I believe so. You flew out a number of European scientists in 1945. All men formerly engaged on a secret project. A death ray.
Yeah. And you know, perhaps, that I plunged into the gay life of the capital, married the beautiful Paquita, lived beyond my means, and so lost her?
So?
I am 33, Herr Carson. A young man, but old in vice and sadness. But you are not here to listen to this tale of self-pity. You seek information.
Get to the point, Schmidt. the names of the scientists that survived the crash landing. I'm prepared to buy it.
I've been offered many thousands of cruzeiros many times. Yet I have kept this information to myself.
You explained why when we met first two nights ago.
I spoke as I believe and feel. It is the only way for me to preserve my honor, my self-respect. I have ruined my own life and others. And now this information in the wrong hands can cause frightening destruction throughout the world.
That's very true.
But you will put it to no such evil purpose, Herr Carson, no.
Assure you not.
They all say the same. But I admire you, my friend, for the manner in which you fought your way out of the Stella Cafe when last we met. And you were waylaid.
Thank you.
But I desire to know what power or what country you represent.
Well, British.
I was hoping that.
And we might come to terms?
Perhaps.
How much?
Do not offer me money.
Sorry, old chap, but I thought...
I have my honor.
Of course, of course.
First you will prove to me that you are a British agent, if you can.
Prove? Well, that can be done, dear sir, but not here. Howsoever, if you'd be good enough to come with me...
Oh, never mind.
But, old chap, I can prove...
Yeah, but I am already convinced by your frankness. Guard this information well, my friend.
I shall, never fear.
There are six scientists, each of whom have some knowledge of this terrible weapon of war.
And their names?
Their names, Senor Carson? Their names...
Schmidt! Schmidt, what is it?
My back.
Back? Dart?
Yeah.
From a blowgun.
Poison, my friend. I know. Someone is determined that you shall not learn the names.
Schmidt, quick. The names. What are they? The names. One didn't need to have an expert knowledge of lethal weapons to realize that the unfortunate Carl Schmidt had only seconds to live. He was struggling to speak. Could he live long enough to give me those names so vital to the secret of Operation Death Ray?